At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Mile High Insiders with Nick Kendall and Luke Patterson. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Now, it's time to find out what's going on behind the walls of UC Health Training Center.
And it looks like we are good to go. Mile High hello, everybody in Broncos country. Welcome into another episode of the Mile High Insiders podcast. I am Lance Sanderson. I'm not Luke Patterson. We're close enough. I mean, relatively the same size. We look a whole lot alike, if you couldn't tell. He's damn near my brother. I'm telling you what. But no, it's good to be here. I'm joined by the co-host of the Mile High Insiders podcast. This is Thomas Hall, good friend, great friend to me, great analyst for Mile High Huddle's wonderful staff here. Thomas, it's been a minute since you and I got a chance to sit down and chop it up, man. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Yeah, it's been, I was just looking back how long ago it was when you jumped in for Luke. It's been quite a while. It's good to have you back on the show. It's obviously not the same without Luke, but we'll make do. But I'm looking forward to chatting with you about some Broncos stuff tonight.
Yeah, man, it's been since before the season even started. I think it was like in June or something like that since the last time we got to sit down and chop it up. But every time we do, dude, listen, like you and I, we have really good communication, really good chemistry. So I'm here to enjoy a great show with you and here to enjoy a great show with everybody out there in the chat, in the Mile High Huddle community. First things first, we got David Papa Bear McElrath jumping in with a $2 super chat saying, good evening, Broncos country, hashtag 10-7 plus, hashtag let's go Bo, and let's go Broncos. Let's go everybody here in the chat. We got Roy Osborne, David Yunkin, Daniel Berry in the house, William Catalano, a lot of the usual suspects in the chat tonight. David Yunkin again, DVA running things behind the scenes, helping moderate the chat. We got Scott running the ones and twos, helping out with the chat as well tonight. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun to be able to get on and just get away from real life and talk some Denver Broncos football. And right now it's even more fun because this Broncos team is winning. They are winning games in ways that they probably shouldn't be, but you know what? They're doing it. This defense is awesome. Bo Nix keeps taking big steps forward, dude. Thomas, like I said, we haven't got a chance to chop it up in a minute. I want your overarching thoughts before we dive into this Baltimore Ravens game, man.
Yeah, no, like you said, they're finding ways to win, which is important. I mean, I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised about the team. And how well the defense is performing was big, but just, you know, finding ways to win, you know, the special teams has been good. So as they're kind of taking this young team and learning and growing, and they've got a rookie quarterback that's also doing the same thing, they're figuring out ways to win, which is a huge benefit. And they find themselves smack dab in the middle of the playoff race. And I said that I think that they have to win four out of the remaining nine, and they are very likely to get in the playoffs because there's only really two teams chasing them, and they've got to win more, and they actually have to play both of them. So if they can win those games, I think four will do it. So I'm pumped, man. It's been a long time since we can sit here as Broncos fans or analysts and say they've got a real shot at the playoffs. The last 6-7 years have been, yeah, they really don't have a shot. They can be kind of close at times, but they don't have a shot. So
It's a breath of fresh air. I joined Mile High Huddle back in 2018, and it's been the Broncos haven't had a winning season since that time frame. The last time they had a winning season, obviously 2016. So to get to talk about a team that's actually winning football games gets you excited on a Sunday to sit down and watch them, analyze them, and break them down. It's so much fun to watch this team. We got Michael Ronquillo jumping in here. Excited, as always, to see Michael jumping up in the chat saying, good evening, Lance and Thomas on the Mile High Insiders. Go Bo Broncos, and go Michael. Thank you for your support, Ronk, down there in Tucson. So we appreciate you for joining us. We appreciate everybody for being here on a wonderful Wednesday evening. I always want to say Friday evening. It's a wonderful Wednesday
evening. It's a Wednesday evening, man. Wednesday middle of the week.
I know, dude.
It's strange doing the show in the middle of the week because it's a little bit too early for kind of previewing the show. It's a little bit late for talking about the last game. So, you know, we hope that big news comes out on Wednesday, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't. So we're going to talk about Baltimore Ravens. We're going to talk about what the Broncos need to do in order to, you know, surprise everybody. If they go into Baltimore and win, that's huge. That'd be a huge surprise. I think pretty much most of the people across the NFL world would be pretty surprised if they were able to do that.
I think it would pretty well shock the NFL world. And quite honestly, I think the Broncos actually have an opportunity to get it done because the strengths of this defense, the strengths of what the Broncos are doing offensively, they kind of align well with what Baltimore is doing defensively and offensively, respectively. Like, there's an opportunity here for the Broncos to go out on the East Coast. And yeah, they don't play well on the East Coast. They've only won one game in Baltimore in their franchise history. That was back in 2012, by the way. And if you remember, Chris Harris Jr. had a 96-yard pick six in that game. And then a couple of weeks later, we all know the Raheem Nightmare Moore play of what ruined what would have been a Super Bowl season. But yeah, this game is going to be a lot of fun to break down, especially with the way the Broncos are playing, especially with the Ravens coming off of a terrible loss against the Cleveland Browns just last week. So before we get into that though, guys, I think we should just jump in real fast and say hello to one of our sponsors for this evening's show. Guys, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience that barbershop shave?
Yeah, introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using Huddle for 20% off plus free shipping.
Yeah, it's, again, guys, promo code Huddle at manscaped.com. Get 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you, Manscaped, for sponsoring tonight's show. We definitely appreciate your guys' continued support here at the Mile High Huddle Podcast Network. Now, Tom, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this entire thing, man. Obviously, Broncos 5-3, the Ravens 5-3 as well. Again, coming off that disappointing loss against the Cleveland Browns where Jameis Winston came out and threw the ball all over the yard. I want to talk about the Broncos on the offensive side of the football right now because the Baltimore Ravens are the number one run defense in the NFL, obviously boosted a lot by a high-scoring offense that puts teams in critical passing situations early and often in the game. What can the Broncos do based on what you've seen over the last 8 weeks to really kind of exploit this Baltimore Ravens team and sneak out of Baltimore with a win?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've taken all of the advanced play-by-play stats basically that I could find. It was quite a bit, and I put them into Tableau and started researching it. And, you know, it's not just that the Baltimore Ravens have a good run defense because their offense is making other teams pass. They've got a good run defense first down. Teams have struggled to run on first down. And what I found that if teams are able to, you know, be more unbalanced towards the pass on first down, shorten those chains a little bit, they can actually run a little bit more on second and third down. So I think that's where they really need to target. And I actually have an article that'll be posted, first one in a while that I've written because I've been so busy diving into that. But first down, I know that Sean Payton, he's pretty much 50-50 run, pass, first down since the season started. But I think if they can exploit this Baltimore Ravens kind of, you know, not pass, you don't want to go pass heavy. You want to keep it fairly equal, but on first down, a little bit more pass to run. I think they can start to exploit that defense a little bit as long as they're high percentage passes. I don't, you know, the teams that went out passing and didn't complete very many passes to begin with, they ended up struggling as well. So you got to have high percentage passes, but attack them on first down. Go out first down, throw in the ball.
That's a really good point. I appreciate that because in terms of yards per pass per play, the Ravens are allowing 7 yards per pass in the passing game per play, 291.4 yards per game through the air, with an EPA per pass at plus 0.13, which is at the bottom of the NFL this season. So if you can find a way to exploit that passing game early, and I think you have to do it in the quicker passing game. This is going to be one of those games where the RPO looks, where you've got Bo Nix face throwing the backside slant, stuff that outs, the quick hitter slants and stuff like that. This is going to be a big boost to this Broncos passing game. And I think we saw a
Well, so we lost Lance. So I'm going to jump in here and answer, talk about Phil McLaughlin's question here. Phil, thank you for coming in here from Facebook. Appreciate the stars and the support. Phil says, evening, Lance, Thomas, and Deacon Scott. After we win Sunday, what position do we go after? Running back, tight end, wide receiver. Buckham, Mile High Huddle for life, Broncos for life. That is an interesting question. I really do think that they are waiting. And unfortunately, waiting is kind of missing out on some of these other opportunities that some of these other teams have jumped on. But I do think waiting after this game, just to kind of gauge where they actually are. I still think this is a playoff team. Like I said, I think four wins possibly get you in. Five, definitely. And I think that's doable for this team. Now, what would they go after? I really think they need, I think they're happy with a lot of their team. And I don't think they're going to do a lot of wheeling and dealing, but I think they will explore at least a new tight end, because they thought Greg Dulcich was going to be that tight end that was going to, you know, be able to stretch the field and be that explosive guy. And he just hasn't been. He's been inactive. I think they really need to target a tight end among anything, more than a wide receiver, more than a running back. I think their the other skills position outside of tight end are acceptable, but tight end has been a kind of lackluster in my mind. So if they are going to do that, there's a few names out there. Evan Ingram, who I said early on would be a good target if you want a one-year guy. I also think, and this is a long shot, but the Cowboys, I think, are a mess, and I think there's going to be major changes at the end of this season. Why not give them a call and just say, hey, what will you take for Ferguson? I mean, just see, a young guy who, you know, they may not have him in their future. They got Schoonmaker was their second-round draft choice a couple years ago. Maybe they're not going to be willing to pony up the dough for him. So give it a shot. Go see what you can do. See what you can wheel and deal if they're, I think it's a long shot, but if they're able to do it, that'd be a key addition.
I'm right there with you. And I apologize for the technical difficulties. My son just turned on YouTube on his Xbox and it absolutely destroyed the bandwidth on my internet network. So got that cleared up. I do apologize for that, guys, but I'm right there with you, Tom. I really want to see the Broncos try to go after a tight end. And quite honestly, the one name that you didn't mention is the one that I think that the Broncos are probably the most interested in and the one that is most likely for them to go out and get. And that's David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns. We're talking about a guy that is an explosive playmaker at the tight end position. He's a quality inline blocker, which can accentuate what the Broncos don't currently have. And this is no slight to Adam Trautman, who I think is very serviceable on the line of scrimmage. And Njoku is a much better player in that particular aspect. It's not a super huge contract. Like, they're going to take some iffy moves around to try to figure out the financials, so at least for this season. But next season, I believe it's a $14 million cap hit for Njoku, and the Broncos have $75 million in cap space. So if they can figure out a way to work the salary cap for this year, I don't know. I mean, even if you give up a fourth or a fifth round draft pick to get a guy like Njoku, and maybe take a little bit more than that, is there a player that you're going to get in the fourth or fifth round of the 2026 NFL draft that's a better, or 2025 NFL draft, excuse me, that's better than David Njoku? No, he's 29 years old, and yeah, he's got a long-term extension already done, so you've got him for the next three seasons, or this season and two more years after that. Like, there's an opportunity here for the Broncos to go and boost this passing game for Bo Nix and give him a reliable receiver over the middle of the field, and I think that that's exactly what they need to do.
Yeah, I would love to have Njoku here. I have a hard time seeing Cleveland doing it with
them.
I think it's going to be a pretty massive cap hit. I thought it was like 23 mil for that tight end because all that the bonus and everything accelerates into this year. Yep. The other point though is I believe there's an out after 2024 or 2025, one of the two. So that cap hit, you know, you can get out from under that deal. So I think it'd be hard to get pry him away just because of the financials on that. But definitely a tight end would be, it would be an area that the Broncos are lacking. Because, I mean, I know that I've been talking about it for a long time. They lack these elite skill position players. They just do. I mean, I like Cortland Sutton. I've liked him for a long time. He's not elite. Nobody scares anybody. And they're making do. They're still winning. So I'm not trying to knock them, but that's the area that they have to increase. But I think the wide receiver is serviceable. You know, Cortland Sutton, they're dropping passes. But they're making do. It's just the tight end is a massive hole. Now, the other area, the running back, that's an interesting point that brought up. I mean, the running game has got to be more consistent. And if that is bringing somebody in that can do that, sure. I think to me, if this team wants to get to the playoffs, they have to have a more consistent running game. I don't care about the wide receiver playmakers. They have to have that running game because we saw what they can do when they actually are doing it against the Saints. They can really grind it out, but they've got to do it. And this game against Baltimore, that's a measuring stick, not just for how good they are as far as you know, where they stand amongst the teams. Can they run the ball against a good defense? And, you know, that doesn't have to be 200 yards, but if they can make hay a little bit with that running game, I think that's a huge measuring stick. And Gary Palmer, thank you so much for the super chat coming in tonight saying, hi, Lance and Thomas, this is our biggest game so far. Hope we are up to it. Go Broncos. Yeah, I was just talking about. It's a measuring stick. I mean, because everybody in the NFL world can sit here and say, well, they haven't really played anybody or, you know, whatever. But they went in, you know, beat Tampa Bay and beat the Jets in, you know, on the East Coast. That was huge for me, I thought. And these next two, the next two games are really going to show, I think they still can make the playoffs, but it's going to show me and the rest of the NFL just how far they can actually go in the playoffs if they do make it.
I think that this game is not just necessarily a measuring stick. It's in the biggest game of the fall, of the season so far. It might be the most critical game of the season so far. And I know it sounds like redundant a little bit, but I think that this is really the one where you can say if the Broncos can find a way to win this game, they can actually do damage. And I agree with your point there. It's absolutely, I don't want to say it's a must-win game, but if you do win it, the confidence in this team, not only in the locker room, but nationally and outside in the media, is going to skyrocket. Yeah. Because again, you're talking one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. They put up a ton of points, a ton of yards. I think they're number one in yards per game or something close to that. Like, it's an amazing team to go in there and win against Baltimore on the road. And you also have not only the 11 o'clock start time, you got the time change. So you're losing an hour as well as losing 2 hours in the time change. Like, it's a big, big game right now. And I think it's probably the most critical point to this season, because if you win this game, and maybe if you can find a way to steal a game against Kansas City, what's the rest of the schedule look like? You've got the Falcons at home. You've got at the Chargers, at the Raiders. Those are both winnable games. You've got the Browns at home, go on the bye week. You come back around and you play the Colts at home again. You get Cincinnati late in the season, which who knows what that team is like. And then potentially if you win a handful of those games, get a couple of close losses to Kansas City, including the one that you give them at home at Arrowhead, not this week, but next week, you're going to be looking at this team potentially vying for a division, like the division championship. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. Like, this could be the launching point game. It's not the Tampa Bay game. It's not even the Panthers game or the Raiders. This game right here can launch you into that upper echelon of the NFL, especially with this defense the way it's playing.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I said that regardless of the Ravens game, I said if the Broncos can figure out a way to beat Kansas City in Kansas City, that final game is going to be for the division title. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But you're right. It's a tough game, though. I don't want to judge this team on the road in Baltimore against a very good team if they lose. If they get smoked, then that's a different thing. But if they, you know, if they go in there and they play fairly well but end up losing, it's not the end of this team. And I think people, if they may, you know, they do a good job of playing and just happen to lose, it's still a measuring stick for this team. It's a tough one to go out there and win. But the Ravens are vulnerable. I mean, look at it. They they've dropped three games that nobody expected them really to drop for the most part. So they're vulnerable. They've got a great offense, good run defense, terrible against the pass. I think they've got some weaknesses, but the Broncos have to play a good game. They can't have the drops. They can't have these any mental errors if they really want to go into Baltimore and win this. It's just you can't make any errors.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Let's jump into our next sponsor for this evening. We got Mint Mobile on the horn here. Big wireless providers, guys. What you see is never what you are going to get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they absolutely mean it. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
And to get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. That's $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Yeah, thank you, Mint Mobile, for joining us this evening. And thank you for your continued support here at the Mile High Huddle Podcast Network. We definitely appreciate your guys' support. Now, before I got all glitchy and whatnot, I was talking about... First, let's grab this comment here from GLP, because Gary Palmer is awesome. This dude is one of the Mount Rushmore supporters here on every single show. He's awesome. Is Zach Wilson in the mix to be a trade candidate off of this roster? I'm going to jump into this first really quick, because I think that the time for Zach Wilson to be traded has already passed. And I think that the big thing there was what happened with Tua Tagovailoa down in Miami. And when he came back, I think that that window officially died. Unless you see a big-time quarterback injury over the next week and a half, I don't think Zach Wilson is going to be moved, and I don't think he's going to be moved anyways. What do you think, Tom?
No, I mean, it might be moved for a very late-round pick. They're not going to fleece anybody for Zach Wilson. That's just – I'm sorry. No. People have seen Zach Wilson play, and just because he's spent a one-off season with Sean Payton doesn't mean he's going to be this great quarterback all of a sudden. It was one of the worst first three seasons in the history of the NFL. So I don't think there's going to be any fleecing. Now, a team might call, and a team that needs a – I don't know which team's out there really looking for a quarterback right now that's desperate. But they might get something late for him. I actually don't think they're going to be moving anybody. I think they're actually going to be standing pat, or they're going to be buying at the trade deadline. But if there was someone to move, Zach Wilson be the one to move. I mean, they don't need him. They to make the playoffs or make any noise, they do not need him at all. So it would be, if they could get something for him, great.
You said that there's not really anybody that's like a potential candidate to be moved in other than Zach Wilson. I'm curious your thoughts on Baron Browning. Let's get to Phil here first. In my opinion, winning the next two, he comes back and says, the next two, no one is safe playing us. Yeah. Cleveland had one win going into that game. Shows that any given Sunday, and that's, you're absolutely right, Phil, and thank you for joining in. Thank you for your support, man. If you win this game against Baltimore and you somehow win, if you win in Baltimore, if you win against Kansas City, why should you doubt that the Broncos couldn't run the table here?
Yeah.
Like the situation in Cleveland is a dire one. The Falcons are kind of hit and miss, and Scott would know a lot more about that. I want to hear Scott's thought on that, on this particular opinion, but what exactly is that team right now? I think the Broncos can handle them fairly well, especially defensively. The Colts with Joe Flacco, the statue that is Joe Flacco, is going to get eaten alive by this pass rush. The Raiders, you already blew them out once. The Chargers, you were on the doorstep of coming back from a terrible start where you turned the football over twice and allowed the Chargers to go down the field on two touchdown drives to get a big lead. Like, erase the mistakes, play sound fundamental football, and you can play with anybody in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and I think the Chargers game, you know, Pat Surtain going out early was huge. They just gave up way too much on third down. They had like a 7.8 yards allowed on third down against the Chargers. It was terrible. I think they were discombobulated. If they win the next two, yeah, it's a division title. I don't think it is. I think this team still can hit the playoffs at 9-8, 10-7, way overperforming. Even, I mean, I said 7-10, so I think that's realistic. But again, like you said, if they can win in Baltimore, that's huge. And like I said, they're vulnerable. It's going to be a tough one. And I know we're all excited about the Broncos and what they've been doing. And I know the Ravens are vulnerable, but it's not going to be an easy game to just mark off in the win column for sure.
No, absolutely not. And I was trying to say before we got a string of comments, and I appreciate everybody for jumping in and helping us through this conversation, because you guys, without your support, we couldn't do what we do. But you had mentioned, you know, utilizing the passing game on first down specifically, because the Ravens are so good against the run in terms of EPA per rush and just run defense on first down. Why not utilize the quicker passing game? And I think that that's something that the Broncos can use against this defense to kind of set that pass rush back a little bit and get this defense playing on their heels, because Bo Nix does such a good job, and we saw it against the Panthers with the RPO looks, you know, the fake read options or the backside slant. You had the couple of out routes. They've run a couple of mesh concepts that Bo's had a little bit of success. It's been hit or miss, but it's there. You can see that he's processing it a little bit better. That to me is a big key to how this team can actually win this game in Baltimore. Tom, what do you think, man?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think so too. That's what I was, writing an article about, is that first down hitting that. But the other thing that we keep forgetting about really is special teams.
Yes.
Defense and special teams can keep this team in the game. So really it boils down to whether the offense can make enough plays to keep up with whatever the Ravens are going to throw out there. And that's the big question mark, because it has been inconsistent all year. They've had some good games. They've had some bad games. Hopefully this is a good game for the offense and still a good game for the special teams and the defense. But again, a couple turnovers, that changes the game. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. I don't want to get too excited and say they're going to win the next two or next three or whatever, but I am excited that even if they drop the next two, they are still in the playoff hunt, even though it looks bleak. They still are, because number one right now, Cincinnati, regardless of whether they play, whether the Broncos win or not, Cincinnati has to win six games in order to get to nine. Yep. And the Colts, who seem to be going the opposite direction, they've got to win five to get to nine. Broncos don't. So I think it's still realistic, even if they drop the next two.
Yeah, there's a lot of two-win teams right now. Obviously, you got the Cleveland. You've got New England has a couple of wins in there. So the Raiders have a couple of wins. Like, it's just where the Broncos are at right now. I believe they're sitting in the number five or six seeds. I think they're the sixth seed behind the Steelers right now, with the head-to-head tiebreaker going to the Steelers there. Like, there's a path here, guys. I think that's mainly the overarching point here, is that there's a path, and it starts here this week. You steal this game here, you're sitting really pretty going into November. Like, obviously we're going to be November, 3rd by the time this game starts. But when was the last time that the Broncos were in playoff contention in November? It's got to be 2016.
Yeah, like, it was. Yeah, it 2016. Right. Yeah, there was one year where they were like 7-7, and like they could have done it mathematically, but you pretty much knew they were out. So yeah, it was. It has been a while. And the interesting thing too is, I was. I'm not a big PFF guy, but someone posted something that got me thinking, because they had Drake May as the highest graded quarterback on deep passes. So I was like, well, okay, what's going on? So I recreated it with some other stats, and I looked at Bo Nix, and you know, his deep passes are a little bit better than I thought they were going to be. So he's the rookie quarterbacks. He's the second for air yards for deep passes behind Daniels there. But most of his other stuff's pretty good, other than touchdowns per attempt. So I think, you know, what the narrative behind this offense and behind Bo Nix is being, you know, quick passes, short passes, timing passes. You know, Bo Nix isn't a deep ball thrower. He's actually been doing pretty well. So at the same time, as you're saying, we need. The team needs to get and I said it too, first down, high percentage passes. They still can attack deep, and I think they can have some success against the Ravens doing that. As long as there's no mistakes, no drops, things like that, they've got to hit on those. But I think they have an opportunity to have some explosive plays in the passing game against this defense.
Well, you need your players to step up. And Sean Payton keeps talking about this all the time when he comes to his press conference. Like, everyone's wanting to, I don't want to say crap on Bo, because he's not necessarily been playing bad. After the Tampa Bay game, Bo Nix has been on a very steady rising trajectory here lately, guys. Like, this Panthers game, obviously the best game that he's played as a professional, but the Raiders game, the New Orleans Saints game, like, he's been playing damn good football here lately, playing with better footwork for the most part, playing with better timing, better accuracy. You got to have your guys come out and make a play for you every now and again. And go back to this Panthers game. I mean, little Jordan Humphrey kind of got turned around on that ball on deep down the right sideline, went right through his hands. It should have been a catch and probably could have been a touchdown. Then you get Troy Franklin going down the left sideline, down the towards the opposite end zone. It looked like he was holding his arms like a hula hoop, and pardon the camera work there, but holding his arms like a hula hoop as the ball runs right between his hands. You couldn't have walked out there and handed that football into that particular spot any better than how Bo Nix threw that football. We're seeing it more working the intermediate parts of the field, especially on dig routes and crossing routes with Bo Nix. The deep over has really started to stick with this offense. The deep out routes, you're starting to finally see Bo be a little bit more comfortable behind this offensive line, and the offensive line is doing a really good job and keeping up with the protection. He's getting the ball out quick. If we could just get these playmakers to go out and finally make a damn play, that would be a huge boost to this offense, boost Bo Nix's numbers, and boost the offense in general. I mean, you fumbled the first drive with Lil Jordan Humphrey against the Panthers. You're moving the football relatively easily at will. You got another fumble at the 2-yard line. That's another 7 points taken off the board. You miss a touchdown pass, maybe two, to Lil Jordan Humphrey, and another one to Troy Franklin. You're talking this team could have put up 50 points against the Carolina Panthers if these playmakers just go and make plays and hold on to the damn football. So I'm with you, Tom. Like, Bo Nix, in terms of throwing the ball down the field here lately, has been magical. It's been fun to watch, and I'm excited for his growth potential moving forward, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's doing everything right. I mean, he seems like he's a student of the game. He cares about the team, cares about winning, and cares about getting better, and he is. Now, he's still a rookie, and he could just go bomb it in Baltimore. You never know. Like, you never know. But the improvement is there. There's going to be, you know, it looks like a couple steps forward, one step back, maybe here and there. But I'm impressed with his progress. And that, as a rookie, that's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for him to break records or anything like that. I'm looking for progress. Now, the one thing that we may not have talked about enough about this Baltimore game is, and I know we kind of talked about it before, but you need to stop the run. You've got to stop the run. And Broncos have not been very good at that. This year, they have had a couple games where they were, but overall, they've allowed more yards than I would like in the running game. But you know, like I said, they're still winning, so that's okay. But if they are not able to stop the running game, especially, you know, Lamar Jackson getting out and doing his thing along with Derrick Henry, it's going to be a long, long, painful day for the Broncos.
Yeah, I posted this on Twitter before we went live. It's been a couple hours now. The stopping the run is paramount for this Broncos team against this Raiders or Ravens. I don't know why my brain's frazzled right now. Anyways, the Ravens, obviously this running game behind Derrick Henry is absolutely the key to stopping this game. Not only do you have to stop the run, you have to hold on to the ball offensively, but when the Ravens do get the ball, stopping Derrick Henry specifically is the biggest key to this game, because Derrick Henry, over the course of his career, has 45 games where he has rushed for over 100 yards in that game. In those games, his record, 36-9. 36-9. 75% of the time that he runs for 100 yards, his team wins the football game, including 5-0 for this Baltimore team this season. His running the football literally dictates the game. And if you can somehow find a way to bottle him up, and yes, I know the Broncos have historically done a really good job, and Desert Creature comes in saying the Broncos have stopped Derrick Henry before. Yeah, that was a different team eons ago and a long time ago, different situations here. This Baltimore rushing attack is ridiculous, not only because of Henry, but because of the ability of Lamar Jackson on the read option, just quarterback design runs. And then you have to worry about the play action game with Lamar throwing the ball down the field. It's a incredibly dynamic offense. And if you can figure out a way to stop Derrick Henry and then contain Lamar Jackson in the running game specifically, you've got the blueprint for this team to be very good, because this Broncos pass rush, this Broncos pass defense is at the top of the NFL right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You can't let Henry beat you. You've got to, you put it in Lamar Jack. If Lamar Jackson beats you, fine. Don't let him ease to victory, because they just, you know, handed it off to Derrick Henry 30 times and he just ran it down your throat. So, I'd like to see them at least make it tough on the Baltimore Ravens offense for sure. So There was a comment in here and I missed it. It was Cody W coming in and with the thank you for the super chat. But this struck me. I love the comment. I think he says the Chiefs game would be an easier one than the Ravens. Kelsey hasn't done much and Hopkins doesn't scare me. Plus the Chiefs left tackle sucks. Now, it was funny that you said that. I'm on the same way. I know that the Chiefs are undefeated, but they seem like they are undefeated in more of a, you know, they didn't earn it to me for some reason. They seem like they're, you know what I mean? I don't know. They seem like they seem more vulnerable right now. And I know they get better as the year goes on. So don't, you know, they're not, you know, they're usually better at the end of the year than they at the start. But I think you're right. I do think the Chiefs game might be a bit easier than the Ravens game for a couple reasons. Number one, the Ravens are coming off a loss. They know they have to win this if they want to keep it up with the Chiefs. And if the Broncos lose this, the Chiefs may overlook them. And I think that they are more vulnerable than the Ravens. So, yeah, thank you for that comment. And thank you for the super chat.
Yeah, I'm actually with Cody on this one. I'm not trying to say, you know, that the Broncos are going to walk into Baltimore and just walk all over the Ravens, because I don't necessarily believe that to be the case. I can highlight you the reasons why I think the Broncos can win. I do think they're probably going to lose in Baltimore. And again, like Tom said, this team's going to come out like hotter than a pissed off hornet's nest. Like they're going to be stingy. They're going to be fiery like dragons. It's going to be an ugly, ugly game, very physical brand of football played by this Baltimore Ravens team. So you've got the 11 o'clock kick. Again, I mentioned the time change earlier. So you're losing another hour early in the morning, which Sean Payton actually addressed, saying that we've already kind of started focusing towards that, adjusting our time schedule. So I'm glad that we got a quality coach here to bring that aspect to it. But again, the Broncos have played, I think they're 1-7 in Baltimore in their franchise history. And again, that win came in 2012. So you've got a tough challenge here against one of the best offenses in the NFL. And Tom, I think you said something that was very, very astute here. The Kansas City Chiefs, it doesn't feel like they've earned it. It really doesn't. And I know that they're Super Bowl champions. They're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They got the greatest quarterback on earth and arguably the greatest athlete or talent at the quarterback position we've ever seen. Patrick Mahomes is awesome, but he's not playing great in October. He has one touchdown pass and threw multiple interceptions. Like this Chiefs offense is being carried by a really good defense. And I think that you can kind of get to a point here where playing the Chiefs, where you're going to be fired up, maybe coming off a loss and wanting to go prove something, Denver has a really good opportunity to win that game too.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I mean, both teams are vulnerable, but they can also drop both teams to, you know, both these games. So, let's see how it goes in Baltimore. One thing that I think that is paramount for the defense, I know we've been talking about the defense as being the key for this Broncos team, and it has been. The one thing that they really need to pay attention to against Baltimore is making sure they're not getting out of position, right? Because we've seen it time and again, they're going all gangbusters to get after Lamar Jackson. He breaks loose and he kills you with his feet. So I think they'll probably have a spy on him. Hopefully they keep their lane integrity, so to speak. You know, I know that's more of a kickoff term, but keeping that integrity where they are, as long as they're playing sound fundamental football with no mistakes, they have a chance to win this in Baltimore.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Let's go back to a conversation you kind of started and we didn't get a chance to really round out. We were talking about Zach Wilson potentially being traded here. And I brought up the name Baron Browning. I think that this is a name that the Broncos, you said they shouldn't be offloading players. They should be bringing players in. And I agree with you, but I also want to have this conversation about Baron Browning right now, because this pass rush without him has been really, really good, dude. What do you think about the possibility of moving on from Baron Browning and bringing in some extra draft capital and letting Nick Bonitto and Jonah Ellis keep continuing to grow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've talked about this a while ago. I actually lost connection before I could finish my thought last week. Well, number one, what are you going to get for Baron Brown? An often injured, not having a great season. Who's going to throw anything really at you for Baron Browning right now? I don't think it's going to be much. If you just want to offload him for a late round pick, you might be able to get something. Here's what I think. The one person you can get something for, which they're not going to do it now, but is Jonathan Cooper. That's the person you can get something for. So my thoughts are, I think Nick Bonitto is your best pass rusher, and he's doing a heck of a lot better against the run than he was. You know, he's done everything the team and the analysts have said he needs to do. He's getting much better. I think they like Jonah Ellis. I think Jonah Ellis has got a great future with this team based on what I've seen so far. So from my perspective, go into next year with two rookie contract edge rushers who's going to provide a good edge rush. You give Browning a one-year prove-it deal, because he's your backup. And if he proves it, awesome. You're going to have an awesome year out of him. If he doesn't, okay. Jonathan Cooper is the one that you can get something for. I don't think they're going to trade him at the deadline. Don't get me wrong. That's not who you're going to trade. I just don't think you get anything for Baron Browning right now, even though they're shopping him. That's my thoughts on it. I think there's a possibility that you don't see Jonathan Cooper get that big contract.
I do think that that's what they need to do, quite honestly, is move on from Baron Browning, extend Jonathan Cooper, and pay that man, because he has been, without question, the most consistent and arguably the best edge rusher this team has seen in the last four seasons. And I firmly believe that. He's consistent as a run defender. He's consistent as a pass rusher, and he does so much in the locker room. He takes attention from everybody on the defensive line and helps out to help everybody else continue to rack up statistics to it, along with Zach Allen. I mean, those two guys, with the way that they work in tandem coming off of the left side of the defensive line, those guys are fantastic right now. I think that Browning and Roy Osborne comes in and says the Broncos only have six picks so far, and Browning is only worth a six round pick, in my opinion. Okay, that's fine. But where are you at right now? If you can get a six-round pick for Baron Browning as it stands, that's probably better than the compensatory pick you're going to get from him, not in 2025, but in 2026 as he walks as a free agent. He's not going to sign a big long-term deal. If you can get that six-round pick, maybe add another depth cornerback to this team, another depth safety, another special teams player that can help just build out the baseline of this roster, because you still need more depth here. And this is not to say that I'm like ready to move on from Baron Browning, but I think that you need more from him, and you're already getting enough with the exponential growth of Jonah Ellis playing as a run defender and his pass productivity right now. And Nick Bonitto obviously playing like a man with his hair on fire coming off the edge. You don't need Baron Browning. Like, that is probably the most expendable piece that you have on this roster that's not named Zach Wilson. And even so, with Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham's on the last year of his deal. Can you bring Zach Wilson back and have a higher upside backup quarterback? Like, to me, I think Browning is probably the one that makes the most sense outside of Greg Dulcich to trade.
Yeah, but again, I just keep going back to, what are you going to get for any of these? Just because you want to offload them because they're not playing well doesn't mean someone's going to give you something for any of them. I mean, Browning's injury history, it makes teams scared. I know he's got a lot of potential, but... I'm going to grab this from Rodney Garcia. Browning, Sternad for a trade for Njoku. Now, the reason why I grabbed this is I have been so impressed with Sternad over the last few weeks when he stepped in with Singleton. When Singleton went down, I'm not a huge fan of Singleton. I think he's a good tackler, but he's not an impact player. And when I saw Sternad a few years back take the starting role, I saw a decline. He wasn't very consistent, and that consistency kept waning as it went on, kept missing holes, wasn't in the right position. That's all gone. He has been one of the surprises for me from this team when he stepped in. I wouldn't trade him, because you don't really have anything else. You would be doing a disservice to this defense if you let Sternad go, because who's going to step in? You already lost Singleton. You've already lost the second round guy. Now I'm drawing a blank on his name. Early before the season even started, you don't have anybody to replace him, and he's playing great. He's actually playing better in my mind than Singleton was playing earlier in the year. So yeah. I wouldn't do it, even though you need that piece, that tight end piece. I don't know. I don't know if I would part with Sternad right now.
Now, I'd do Browning and Dulcich for Njoku if you could possibly pull that trade off. But no, Sternad, you bring up a very good point here. I think that without question, unless you wanted to talk Bo Nix from where he started in Seattle to where he's at now, I think that it's a hard argument to argue for anybody that's not the most improved player than Justin Sternad has been for this Broncos defense, specifically defensively, because he's still doing damn good things on special teams as well. Like, the dude has had a terrible, terrible time here in Denver, battling through injuries, not being able to see the field unless it's on special teams reps. And when he finally steps up, he's finally got some experience. He actually came back. He was supposed to be a Carolina Panther this year. He decided to not go to Carolina, to come back to Denver, to stay here. And then he gets his opportunity, and he's been one of the better defenders that this Broncos team has fielded outside of the top guys that everybody knows. So, no, I would keep Justin Sternad, and honestly, that might be another guy that you talk about a short-term, low-money, low-guarantee, let's prove this extension for him. Maybe it's a one-year, $5 million deal. That's a guy that I really like to keep around here. Cody W. jumping in here with a $5 super chat saying, is there anything on this Ravens offensive line that you can look to exploit? And let's say with a Zach Allen, Denver has creamed a few quarterbacks already.
I'll just say from my standpoint, you have to be able to stop the run and get them in passing situations. Number one, I mean, if they, like we said earlier, if they're just going to run it down your throat and you can't do anything about it, you're not going to have to worry about this, getting after the quarterback situation. Now, from my perspective, Zach Allen, like, the guy is playing incredibly well, a bright spot in the combination of Zach Allen, Franklin Myers, and the two guys on the edge, Cooper and Benito, have been working well. And that's, all of them can get after the passer. And that's what's happening. So from my perspective, from last year, when you had Jonathan Harris as the starter, you had DJ Jones, you had Zach Allen, and then you had Mike Purcell coming in, that combination didn't get after the passer. But this combination does. And I don't think you need to really exploit. I think you just let Zach Allen do what he's been doing all year and get after the quarterback and get those pressures. It's just one of those things where he's just playing better. He's just playing so much better than he has in the past. And it's showing in the stats and on the field.
Yeah. I think one big thing that you can, if you're going to look to exploit anybody, it's going to be Tyler Linderbaum. And specifically with Malcolm Roach. And the reason why I say that is going back to watching tape. This is on Ayoma Owazurike all those years ago when Linderbaum was the center at Iowa playing in college football coming out in the draft. Ayoma Owazurike, a guy that has a lot of high upside with crazy, ridiculous length and body strength in his upper half, dominated Tyler Linderbaum at the point of attack. Malcolm Roach has that ability too. He's showed it as a pass rusher right now. If you can get Malcolm Roach against him one-on-one, because Linderbaum's an athlete. He wants to be out on the move and utilize positioning and angles and stuff like that. He really struggles with power up front. And Malcolm Roach has shown the ability as a powerful interior rusher to help collapse the pocket and open up some rush lanes for everybody else. That might be the one key that you can get with this Broncos defensive line to exploit the Ravens offensive line in their pass protection.
Yeah, and that's another big surprise for me. Roach has played so much better than I expected. So the thing I was saying about Zach Allen last year, that he's hitting that age in a defensive line's career when they really start to hit their peak. And Zach Allen didn't last year, but he is now. And Roach doing the same thing. He's at the same time, coming up, hitting their peak time, playing time as a defensive lineman. So, yeah, I mean, I think they have the opportunity to go in there and get after the quarterback in Baltimore. I just, again, it all starts with whether they can contain the running game first and foremost. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. And honestly, you got to – this might be the one true test for this Broncos pass rush in terms of being disciplined in their rushing lanes, where you really have to stay inside, stay sound assignment, gap assignment, and just try to maintain a straight rushing lane and not open up outside and escape lanes for Lamar Jackson. Because that's where if you can stop Derrick Henry and make this game a drop back passing game for Lamar Jackson, he can still turn it into a running affair with his escapability and finding those escape lanes. So you have to maintain that rush integrity. And that's something that if you listen to a guy like Alfred Williams on KOA, he talks about this all the time. He was really getting after Zach Allen early in the season, saying he's just playing like a loose cannon cop out there. I disagree with that. I think that he was actually doing exactly what Vance Joseph wanted him to do, being a disruptor. This game, I think that Zach Allen really needs to stay true to that sound gap and a half assignment that he's going to have to play, or else Lamar Jackson's going to tear you up with his feet.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about that already. So yeah, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. And like I said, if everybody just does their job the way they should be doing it, I think this could be a pretty close game. I think they could come out on top. But if they're making mistakes, like you said, just, you know, getting out of their lanes, letting Lamar beat you with his feet easily, then, you know, it's going to be a long day. And so no mistakes, and they can, you know, Ravens are vulnerable. So if they go in there and play a good, solid, sound, mentally sound game, they have a chance.
Yeah. So Thomas, before we get out of here, we got about 10 minutes left here. And thank you for having me on your show and allowing me to sub in for Luke. And Luke, hopefully you feel better. Like I appreciate every opportunity to get here and talk with you guys here at the Mile High Huddle Podcast Network. And thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. Before we get out of here though, if you had to choose one player as like that X factor, the one that no one's really thinking about to come out and help this Broncos team come away with a win, who is it and why?
Yeah, I mean, the player that hasn't done anything and hasn't gotten a lot of opportunity, I think, is Marvin Mims. If you could get the deep ball to him, you get the ball into his hands where he can actually make something happen, he could be a big factor in the passing game. You know, they just, like I said before, they don't have a lot of elite skills players. If they can get him going, then get some deep balls to him, he can open up the game. I keep waiting for it to happen, but it's not happening. And maybe I'm waiting in vain. Maybe he's just not the guy that I envisioned on this team when they traded up to get him in the second round. But yeah, on the offense, definitely, I think Marvin Mims could be a factor that no one's expecting.
Yep. That's a good one. I think I'm going to give some love here to a guy that I don't think gets nearly as much attention as he deserves. Phil McLaughlin, before I get to that, Phil McLaughlin jumping in here saying, Cleveland did a good job with Henry. In your opinion, is our defense better than Cleveland's? Yes. Front to back right now, the way that this team is schemed up and the way that this team is playing, it's a much better defense than Cleveland's is. The problem is, I don't think that this team has seen nearly as much of a threat offensively as what the Ravens have seen, whether it was Kansas City or whether it was what the Browns were able to do on offense. Like I lost my train of thought. The Ravens have seen some threats. The Browns have seen some threats with this Ravens team. Like they're playing against better offenses. I think the Broncos are exploiting some weaker teams right now offensively, and that kind of lowers the scales a little bit. This is going to be the biggest test for the Broncos defense for sure, but I still think it's better than Cleveland's is.
Yeah, but also you got to look at what they did to the offenses they faced versus what those offenses did after they were playing somebody else. I did it early in the season after like the first four games. It was a marked difference between what those teams on offense could do against other defenses and then what they did against the Broncos. So the defense, even though they've not played a huge offensive threat, they did much better than what those teams have done against other opponents. So you got to play who you got in front of you. And like you said, this is a big test. I think the Broncos defense is better than Cleveland's. They still are susceptible to the running game. And I think that has something to do with they like to get after the passer. But I think they're going to be more focused on the run. And so you'll probably see a little bit of a difference in that. But yes, I definitely think the Broncos defense is better than Cleveland's defense.
Yeah, and this comes back to my point about the X factor for this Broncos team that could help like win this football game for the Broncos, and he's not getting nearly the love that he deserves. It's Brandon Jones, the safety, the starting safety. If he was a rotational player for the Miami Dolphins for a long time, he has come in and really eased the loss of Justin Simmons. And this is not a slight against Justin Simmons, who is a fantastic player and still is a fantastic player. But this Broncos defense hasn't missed a beat. He's got his hands on a couple of different turnovers. The way that he fills in his run alleys against the run, the way that he comes as a blitzer coming off the edge if you need him to, he's versatile. He can play the single high. He can lock down in man coverage. Again, a great run defender. this dude, especially against the Ravens, where they need a physical downhill player against this running game and a guy that can hang with this tight end duo that they've got. I mean, Isaiah Likely is an explosive playmaker at the tight end position. Everybody knows Mark Andrews is one of the top guys at the position as well. Brandon Jones has been a lockdown defender in terms of man coverage and a great run. I cannot sing the praises enough. They need him to have a big game against this offense, because if he doesn't, and the gap integrity issues that you saw against the Seattle Seahawks in week one happen against this Ravens running attack, it's what college coaches like to call a track meet and a band concert with this Ravens running attack right now. Brandon Jones, that's the X factor for this Broncos defense this week.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a physical game, but I would like to see the Broncos out physical the Ravens. I would like to see that game where I'm not saying it'll happen, but that's what I would like to see. Cause even win or lose, I want to see the Broncos, this team, a young, hungry team that we weren't expecting. I wasn't expecting to play as well to go in there into the Ravens and show the NFL world that they're here. You know, whether they win or not, I don't want it to get ugly. You know, go out there and be physical, play good, sound football, no mental errors, and then see where it comes out. And that's what I really want for this Broncos team. If they can do that, I think they can go into Kansas City and win.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Cody W. jumping in here at the horn with a $2 super chat. Thank you, Cody, for your continued support tonight. Super chat superstar of the night without question here, saying the Ravens secondary is weak. Look for Troy Franklin's speed. I don't disagree with this take. I think that you can exploit this team vertically down the field. You just need these players to go out and make plays for you. I talked about it just a little bit ago. You need Troy Franklin to make this the second time now. This is the second time on the same sideline, exact same sideline. He dropped one against the Raiders. He dropped one against the Panthers on deep shots that should have been touchdowns. Yep. It, like, he can take the top off all you want to, but if you can't catch the damn football, it doesn't do you any good. I appreciate the point here, and I think that they need to exploit it. He's got to make it good on the back end of those throws.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I was like, what I was hoping Marvin Mims could step in and be that deep guy and catch that, because I don't trust Troy Franklin catching the ball. He's shown that he hasn't been able to do that regardless of the chemistry between he and Bo Nix. Those were tough drops. So not, it didn't hurt him in the Panthers game because they were already there. You know, they whipped up on him pretty hard, but this isn't the Panthers that they're going to go play against. And so they can't afford those errors. So I that's why I'm hoping Marvin Mims is able to step in and get a couple of those deep opportunities.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Last thought here before we get out of here, I'll close the show here in just a second. Talking about, you know, the Panthers, and this isn't obviously the Ravens isn't the Panthers, but go back to this game really fast. You heard all the players from Carolina, specifically J.C. Horn, talking about how the Broncos were trying to run up the score and whatnot. And quite honestly, they could have run the score up. What did you take of that?
I don't care. You know, people say the players get upset because they lost. They say something. It wasn't a running up of the score. I mean, we've seen teams come back. They should have ran up the score, and they would have had they not made those mental errors. Let them run up the score. Hey, it's your job to stop the other team. If you don't like it, go out there and stop them. If they're going to run, I mean, the Broncos, they got ran over for 70 points. You know, don't complain. Yep. Just go out and stop the dang team. That's all I got to say. So, you know, there's those reactions that people have because they're upset in the moment. Just, you know, I didn't make any big deal of it. I think the Broncos could have run the score up a heck of a lot more had they not, like I said, not committed those mental errors.
But I was just about to say the exact same thing, but the finishing drive at home point here is right alongside the Broncos beating you guys 28-14. The Tennessee Titans got absolutely boat raced by the Detroit Lions 52-17. You want to talk about running up the score here, J.C. Horn, get over it, play better, like Sean Payton says, and just, this is the NFL, man. Get over yourself. You're not that good. You suck. Okay. Be done with it. Anyway,
if it was 2 minutes left and they could run the clock out, but they were going for the touchdown instead. Now that's running the score up, but what they did, that's just football, man. Anyway,
with two turnovers and three drop touchdown passes, like this game could have been way out of hand. That's called running the score up. So anyway,
Yeah, that and that's what needs to happen against the Ravens. They cannot afford those errors. They cannot afford to drop those touchdown passes. Yep. They can't afford to fumble on the two-yard line. These are mistakes that will come back to bite you against a better team, so they can't afford to do it. But anyway, we're at the top of the hour. Lance, thank you so much for joining the show, for stepping in for Luke. Really appreciate it. So if you want to get Lance on Twitter, it's Lance_MHH on Twitter. I'm Thomas Hall NFL. You can talk to either one of us on Twitter. I'm going to have an article coming out that's a little more in-depth. I'm going to be focusing on some analytics over the next few weeks, so look for those. Lance, I know you've got some articles that are going to be coming out soon. I don't think you have one out there right now recently, but go to the mothership, so to speak, as Luke always calls it, and check out those articles that are out there.
Yeah, at Mile High Huddle, that's where you guys can find all of our breaking news and analysis regarding your Denver Broncos, film breakdowns, opinion articles, any breaking news. You're going to find it at Mile High Huddle. Facebook supporters, please go to facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. Keep the conversation flowing, guys. Again, on Twitter, on Facebook, does not matter. Get after us. We love talking Broncos football with all of you guys. If you guys are financially able to do so, go to mhhmerch.com. Get your swag on. Get a hat like this Dove Valley Deep Divers hat that I have on, or the MHI one that Tom has on. There's face masks, t-shirts, coffee cups for Broncos for breakfast. Anything you guys want, anything to suit your fancy, you're going to find it at mhhmerch.com. And at the bottom of the screen, guys, if you are not financially able to do so, we understand it's rough out there. But you guys should all be doing these three things by now. Subscribe to Mile High Huddle across all of your social media platforms, specifically YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Like every video you guys see. And if you love it, please share it and get it in front of as many Broncos fans as possible. Because without your guys' continued support, we could not do what we do best, which is cover your Denver Broncos. Now, with that, Tom, I always say this. Any last words?
No, I don't. I mean, I pretty much talked plenty about this Ravens game. But what I will say is to all those Broncos fans out there, embrace this time. They're winning. This is actually better football than we've seen in a long time. Enjoy it. Even if they lose over the next 2 weeks, they are not out of the playoff race. Four games. Mark my words, four games, and they get in the playoffs.
No, you're absolutely right, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while we still have it, because right now watching Denver Broncos football is fun for the first time in quite a long time. Enjoy the growth. Enjoy the struggles. Enjoy just the direction that this franchise is going, because I do believe that whether it's this season or here in the next couple of years, this team is going to be vying for a Super Bowl title here very, very soon. So with that, guys, you all stay safe and take care. Have a great rest of your week. I will see you guys on Friday as well. I'm going to be hosting Dove Valley Deep Divers with Kenny Booker alongside me. We will see you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. for the Mile High Huddle podcast, and I'll see you guys on Friday as well. Take care, stay safe, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you guys later. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.